Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the wonderful Wheel of Life and another international transmission of You Can't See Us with Starfire and Charlie.
That's right, bitches. Welcome to the future.
Full house tonight. E.T.'s back in action. Say hi, E.T.
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome back, E.T.
Hey, Dan.
It's been too long, man. It's a return from retirement.
Yeah.
Good to see you. I think the first order of business today should be you need to explain to our avid listeners where exactly you've been and why exactly you've taken your hiatus.
Wait, so what was the deal with the whole sabbatical from the podcasting?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a crazy story. I mean, I can't believe it happened to you. I mean, tell everybody what happened. Let's hear it.
Well, a couple months ago, I went through some telling times, and I decided to go on a sabbatical, so I disappeared, and it was like a month later, I found myself in Tibet, just trying to, you know, I was going to go ahead, and I had a dream to scale Everest, and go ahead and make a push. And
I knew that was a dream of yours.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just started, and then I was in Tibet, I woke up there, and I did some trekking in the high country there.
Uh-huh, of course.
And decided to go ahead and try to get on with the Sherpa train where they take supplies up to the
to
base camp and stuff like that. So I did that, and then eventually I got hired to be a cook there at base camp.
Just cooking bacon and eggs for them?
Yeah, for the climbers and the expeditioners and stuff.
Right on.
Well, why'd you shave your head?
Well, I did that because it was in the tradition of the Tibetan monks.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
Because I was over with them, and I was doing a stewardship with Rambo. He was over there.
Yeah,
because he, you know, he does that.
Sylvester Stallone, or was it actually Rambo?
No, it was Rambo.
he looks just like him.
Yeah, and then I got close to achieving my dream and got on a mountain climbing expedition and was making a push for Everest, and only to figure out that they make the pushes in May, and this was November.
Right.
It wasn't a good time.
So I had to turn around and come back.
Well, you know.
Do you have any experiences with Yeti over there at all?
No. I look for Yetis, but, you know, there's...
It's all white.
It's so traveled.
You can only see their eyeballs.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, they're really touristy part of, you know, where all the hikers walk the same trails and people camp. And
yeah.
Lots of hiking tourists.
That's cool. Did you take a camera? Did you get some good photos?
You know, I didn't.
What? How on earth?
Well, he took some photos in his mind.
Oh, well.
Mind photos. Those are the best ones.
Man. I'll never forget the times. But
yeah. Well, you might. I mean,
well, we're glad you're back.
Yeah.
For podcasting and everything.
You're going to get older and you're gonna forget everything. So.
Nah. It was a great time. But it's good to be back.
Yeah, man. Good to have you back.
So did you hear about this plane that was flying over from Miami to London?
No, huh? What happened?
Well, check this out. This would make me shit my pants. Probably everybody else. They're about halfway through in the middle of the fucking ocean. And it was 3:00 in the morning. And all these alarms start going off on the plane. And it's the speaker came on, and they're like, you know, the plane is going down. The plane is going down. It's crashing.
We're fucked. Oh my God. Oh my God.
And I guess that somebody hit, there was a malfunction because it was a robotic voice that does it, you know, on British Airways. And there was a malfunction, and somebody just pressed that button, or it just came on automatically. And it came on twice. It did it twice.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're fucked.
Holy shit.
Stick your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.
Wow. So did the plane go down? Or that was just like a false...
It was a false alarm.
False alarm.
They were fine.
I think that they should do something for the passengers. I mean, at least...
They gave them all apology letters as they got off the plane.
Oh, great.
And like new underwear, I'm sure, because everyone shit their pants.
So who's going to pay for my psychiatrist for the next 5 years?
Yeah, and that shit.
God, that's insane.
It was nutty.
Yeah, and then there was the cruise ship thing. Did you guys hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just ran aground.
And the guy allegedly jumped ship. You know, like the captain, like, jumped ship before anyone else.
He's like, fuck this, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah.
He's not a very traditional captain, is he?
So they arrested him, right?
Well, yeah, and he's... I don't know all the details, but he has a different story. Like, other people on the ship said that they were all going one way, and the captain and a couple of crew members were going the opposite direction as everyone else. And they were like one of the first people off the ship, and then they found him like somewhere.
It was, a bar, just drinking.
I think so, or something, yeah, and arrested. But then he has a different story, like, I did what I was supposed to do or something. I don't know. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. But
I mean, that's a very trying moment when the ship's going down. What are you gonna do? You gonna just get the fuck off or what?
Yeah, man. I saw some video of it somewhere, like on YouTube or something, and it was.
Yeah, but you know the saying is the captain goes down with the ship.
I know, but you know, I'd like to think that I would stay and help people, but you never know until you're in that situation if you're just going to get the fuck out of it. You know what I mean?
It's like, are you ready to die?
You never hear the captain's run aground with the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never hear that.
Yeah.
What a coward.
How about the
well, we don't know all the details, but it certainly sounds like it.
The Titanic recreation that they're doing, it's like a tour through the exact same path as the Titanic, I think.
Is it like on the same boat? Did they like recreate the boat?
Yeah, I mean, they brought it. No, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
That would be so stupid if they were like, let's do some historical reenactment and we'll remake the Titanic to historical perspectives, qualifications and all this shit. So it's using all the same stuff. And we're going to sail it through, and this time we're going to make it.
Yeah.
That's like giving Civil War reenactments live ammunition or something.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
I'd pay to see that.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
People are nuts, man. It's weird in the future, man. There's just weird shit going on. Yeah. People just do the dumbest things, and they're like, what? We're living in the future. This is what we do in the future.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We go to Renaissance fairs.
I'm sorry. I have to recant that. I wouldn't pay to watch guys shoot each other.
No.
I admit that.
Maybe paintballs would be better than just nobody getting hit.
Yeah. I think less lethal pellets would work.
Yeah. Because if they were out there...
I mean, I want to see some pain and suffering.
Out there with like muskets and stuff, that could be very gnarly.
If I'm going to sit there...
Yeah, dude, those things are balls. They fuck you up. They take arms off and stuff.
I bet there's a market out there for paintball guns that look like muskets.
Just gigantic paint bowling balls full of paint.
for cannons.
Just like rips your head off and covers it in paint.
Like one of them old pilgrim guns?
Yeah. Exactly.
We don't know for sure what happened, but we found his head 10 feet away, and it was covered in orange paint. We think this might have been the work of a cult of some sort.
Might have been a direct hit. We're not sure.
I used to love doing paintball when I was a kid, man. I fucking loved that shit. I probably still would love it.
Shit, I'll never
because
do it.
Dude, it hurts, but it doesn't hurt that bad. So it's like playing war, but you really don't want, you won't do anything stupid because it hurts enough that you don't want to get hit by him. You know what I mean? Because like if you're doing Nerf, you know, you'll just step out in front and just start firing at
fuck
people.
Act
like you're fucking Rambo or something and just run through. But paintballs, you're like, I do not want to get hit by this paintball. So you're sneaking around like it's real almost.
It's too much for me. Yeah, I don't want to be chased around by little bastards shooting paintballs at me, man. I shot my 9-year-old cousin in the nose one time with an airsoft rifle. I didn't mean to. I was aiming for his chest.
Matt Will, my friend Matt Will in Chicago. Were you there when this happened? And in Chicago, we always have Nerf or Nothing tournaments. Matt Will, I was firing against him, and Matt's kind of got a real, I'm sorry to say this, Matt, but you got a real big receding hairline. You know, it's like way back there, and I shot one with the suction cups, and it stuck right on his head. It just stuck right there, right in this little bald spot. It was awesome.
That's good. That's good.
That's funny.
Non-lethal violence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just funny. That's how you see that.
It's like, well, yeah, medieval times. Yeah.
Medieval times is wonderful.
I want to
raise a cheer.
I want to go so bad.
That's another crazy. What is it with? I guess when you live in the future,
you want
to you go back to the future.
You want to reenact the past.
It's everything happens in the future. I think everything happens at the same time.
fuck is this? Oh, that's that thing, huh?
That's a fiddle. That's a fiddle. That's actually a very small fiddle. It's like a
bass fiddle.
No. I have a bass fiddle somewhere else in the studio, but that is a 3/4 size fiddle.
Right.
So it's pretty difficult to
pretty
play.
Pretty profound.
The fiddle's hard to play anyway for me because for some reason they forgot to put frets on it.
So, oh yeah, I hate when they do that.
So that's kind of weird, and the pick sounds weird on it.
Yeah. Did you ask for your money back?
No. I realized that that's how it's supposed to go. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Oh yeah. Well,
they use that weird pick with the horse hair on it.
Oh yeah.
Strange.
What the fuck is that all? It's a big, huge thing. And
yeah, it's weird.
That's what she said.
So I just heard this story about some law that they're trying to pass where if your electricity spikes to a certain amount, if you use a certain amount of electricity, then they will get a warrant to search your house to see if you're growing marijuana. Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
So if you have a recording studio or anything else that uses a lot of electricity, beware, people.
Wow. That's fucking nuts.
Yes.
They don't even need a warrant.
Well,
they'll have a warrant.
Yeah, this is the classic move where they do all these things, and they've done them for years illegally, you know, without any right, and now they're trying to pass laws to say, oh, well, it's okay for us to do this.
Well, I thought that with the Patriot Act, they can come into your house whenever they want.
Well, yeah, there has to be suspicion, you know, like usually it's, you have to be suspected of something, you know, if they...
So they don't need a search warrant to come search you.
Well, we'll see now. This,
say you're a terrorist.
This is their suspicion, you know, yeah. That they can say, well, we're looking at your electricity shit and you're using too much electricity.
Huh. Weird fucking times.
And man, that's, wow.
This is like, I just can't deal with it anymore.
I mean, it's insane, really. But it's pretty crazy to see it happening, you know.
It really is.
Right under your noses.
And nobody noses.
Nobody knows.
People noses. It's just like,
some people do. A lot of people don't, man. A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
Those are the people that are going to go vote Obama again.
Or Romney.
Yeah. Either way, it just sucks to me.
Pepsi and Coke.
Yeah. They're really the same flavor, man.
Maybe Mitt Romney will come out with a logo that looks like the Coca-Cola logo.
You know,
because Obama's got his Pepsi thing.
Yeah.
Right. So he should just write Mitt Romney and he can download the Coca-Cola font for free from like fonts.com or something.
If you're listening, Mitt, this is how you will win the election.
Oh, he's listening.
Well, I think if it comes down to just a 2-man race between Mitt and Ron Paul, I think you're going to see a lot of chinks in Mitt Romney's armor, man.
I thought you were about to make a really racist comment.
Me too. No. I think you're going to see a lot of chinks leave the country.
Damn.
Charlie, that's not the
proper nomenclature.
Inappropriate.
Is it chinks or kinks in the armor?
Chinese Americans.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the proper terminology is.
That was chinks in the armor.
Is it kinks or chinks?
It's fucking chinks where I'm from, so that's what we're going with.
Well, yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I think there's a lot of things that people could start looking at, you know, that's like, hey, this guy is no different than this Obama guy that we're talking shit on. You know?
Mm-hmm. It's very strange. It makes me very mad and not very
It's frustrating.
Helpful.
It is. I think a lot of people are frustrated in this country about that, and they don't know.
I think a lot more people than you know.
What to do, you know.
I think Rick Perry just needs to officially say, I lost. You know, please, say you lost. Take it as a
loss. He's kind of, but I kind of like him there right now because he's just sort of comic relief.
I do too. It's like,
when they go to Rick Perry, you're like, all right, this is going to be good.
Yeah, you know? What's he going to say now? Yeah. You are the governor of Texas, man. We have to live in Texas. This is not fun for us. Fuck you. Bow out and accept a loss, man. Jeez. God.
What if he stays in and hypothetically his support spikes?
He's the front runner. Yeah.
What would you think?
That shit happens overnight.
Yeah, it does.
But what's he gonna, he's not doing anything to make that happen. I mean, he's like talking how Turkey's full of terrorists and shit, and like
they're gonna
We need to go down and kill all of our enemies. That's what he said last night. Just go into every country and kill all of our enemies.
Okay, so here's another story that I heard.
He's
Blackwater, you know, or the company that was Blackwater is now called, or was called Z, and now it's called Academy. They keep changing their name and shit. So Academy, which used to be Blackwater, is now going after the drug war. Or the government is hiring them to go to South, mainly like Latin American countries, and shut down the drug war. And they're like, you know, it's a lot cheaper for the people of America. It's better than for us sending our military down there because it costs a lot more. There's all this military bureaucracy. Blackwater can do whatever the fuck they want, and they can still take care of shit. You
it's
know?
The CIA or genius. That's their private drug running.
You're exactly
That's
right.
That's their private drug running network right there.
Right.
Like, just cut out the middleman. Just use your own people.
Well, yeah, all these mercenary companies, like the CIA, at one time, people thought it was conspiracy theory and thought that it didn't exist, right? And then it's where all this money seemed to go disappear, and it went to CIA operations and stuff. And then once the CIA became public, they had to come up with these other private corporations and private companies that carry out all the same drug importing and money laundering and all this crazy shit, man.
They've been in trouble for that for the last year or 2 years. Remember all that stuff that, remember all that gun running they did down there, and it killed border agents?
Yep.
Some of their gun running. I can't remember what they, it was called Operation some shit.
And I heard somewhere that Monsanto is trying to buy Blackwater.
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
What is, I mean,
Monsanto is probably the evilest corporation on the face of the earth. It probably is.
Oh,
I mean, it's right up there.
And they're trying to take over Academy or Z or whatever the fuck that company's called.
That's so weird.
They like officially in India ruined every crop in India. Like, you can't get non-GMO food in India anymore.
Right, and there's it started out with cotton. They were getting farmers to grow this genetically modified cotton in India. And the farmers who weren't growing it, their crops were getting
dusted by, or whatever, cross-pollinated.
Cross-pollinated, yeah. Exactly. And then Monsanto would come in and sue them for growing their proprietary plant or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
And then they raise the price on all this shit. These people can't afford it. There's farmers killing themselves by drinking Roundup, which is a fucking Monsanto product.
Yeah.
Just to fucking say, fuck you, you know? I can't handle this shit. And it's going on all over the place, man.
God, they're just, I mean, I can't even say this on the podcast because it's just, what I'm about to say is just so...
you gonna break it down for us?
Well, no. What I'm just saying is like it's... I could probably get arrested for it, so, you know, in this state.
Well, man, I tell you, man, that, I mean, honestly, that the evil's been going on for so long now under people's noses, and some of us haven't realized it for a long time, but it's been going on a long time, especially if you look back on history. But, man, it's everything's in cycles and seasons, man. Well, the good's going to come around, and it might be, we might be part of it right now and not know it.
We are, because we live in this information age. You're right. People, especially big corporations and rich motherfuckers, have been doing this shit for centuries, but we live in this day and age where there's this information superhighway where we can learn about shit like that that happens all around the world, you know. And when people say the world is watching, like, that's more true now than it ever has been.
And just think, see, when I grew up, we didn't have the internet,
right?
We had TV, and that's where you got all your information. The three channels in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Right.
You know,
it was only on for an hour a night.
And you got the world news for 30 minutes, Monday through Friday.
I had the Abilene, Texas news stations. That was what I grew up with.
Yeah, just I mean, it's crazy to think of what it must be like for these kids growing up with the internet, never knowing any different. And
having a cell phone is crazy too.
Yeah, there's so many kids that have like iPhones, and they're just so connected to this planet, or at least, you know, to this grid that's on this planet. It's weird.
There's no secrets anymore, I don't think. It's weird. I mean, if there are, they're, you know.
Well, if they're still on the internet, but it's called a conspiracy.
Yeah.
What if I told you it was dumb mirrors? What if I showed you it was all a lie? Better be careful, someone might hear you. The walls said you were on the dream. What you want, bet that all you gotta do is open up your eyes and you wake up screaming. And you realize that it's all come true. Hush now, don't you believe it. Cover your head and close your eyes now. Take it or leave it. Go back to bed now, don't you cry.
I don't like this. I just don't like... I couldn't even deal with it last night.
I mean, what was pissing you off so bad?
Just the crowd cheering.
So you're talking about the...
What did they say? Or what was said that they cheered?
This was a debate that
we're going to fuck you up the ass and take all your money.
That's basically what they were saying. I mean, if you... Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were like, that's basically what was happening.
Was they like freakishly weird like that?
Yeah, it was freakishly
weird. I mean, you know, a sane person sitting at home is going to look at that and go, wait a minute.
Like, no, I trust whoever, Mitt Romney, they asked him, would you have voted for, or would you have signed the
National Defense Authorization Act?
And he's like, yes, I would have signed it, you know, and he was just going in all these reasons why, and people were just like cheering. I was like,
whoa.
I couldn't fucking believe that they were cheering for their rights being taken away, you know what I mean? It was so sick.
Yeah.
That's just, they're coached to do that. They're there for
applause.
That. They're there for that.
It's like that. No, it's like that whole thing when Stalin in the demonstration ripped out all the feathers of a turkey and was like, and the turkey was standing there completely bald, but then, you know, and was like bleeding all over the place. And then Stalin reached out and was in front of a bunch of people and reached out and gave him some food. And the turkey, you know, walked up and just started eating the food.
Yep. After he just did all that shit
to him.
And he did that in front of a bunch of people.
His cabinet, yeah.
Yeah, it was to demonstrate
how that they should do their.
That you can do the same thing to a human being.
Yeah,
and they do it.
Yeah,
exactly.
They do it every day.
I think that's the most fucked up thing. Was I think most people in this country to a certain point were brought up in school. At least they teach you that the Nazis were bad. The communist Russians were bad, and they did these evil things to people. They tortured people, and, you know, they took away their rights, and they did all this shit. And, you know, most of these people now who were taught that at some point in their lives and probably believe that, see this shit going on and don't think anything of it. Don't see the similarities, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's crazy to me, is how can you not see this? I mean, I don't see everything that's going on, but I at least see that they're trying to fuck us, man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's bizarre, man. It's really bizarre.
Well, I just think people get, there's such a routine every day. Regular people.
It's easy to do, man. You go to work and that's all you have time to do, you know, and then you're tired. You eat and you go to sleep and you go to work.
I know, man.
It's just a mentality. It's like one side of the spectrum has Fox News and the other side of the spectrum has MSNBC, and it's just like cheering for your fucking football team.
It is. It's like a, I don't know. It's just, it's so strange.
So the kind of people, you have to set them down, tie them to a chair, and say, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
you're killing your father, Larry.
Here's the information you need to know, and where they have no outside influence from the media or the TV or family members or anything, and say, this is what the fuck's going on. Then they'll go, are you sure?
Yeah. Did that happen?
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
We didn't clap for that.
No.
No. We were clapping for freedom.
Yeah.
I always say, just start with and watch Loose Change. Start with that one first. That DVD.
Yeah.
Just start with that and kind of ease your way into a little more. Okay, that should pique your interest, because that's not saying that didn't have. It just blows holes in the 9/11 Commission report. Is all that DVD does.
Yeah,
that's a good one to start at.
There's a lot of a good information out there. You know, it's just.
And then watch the Tillman story.
Do people want to? A lot of people don't want to hear it. You know,
no, they just don't. That's
the Tillman story. That's a great story. A great DVD.
You're right. Yeah. That's
a must
watch. That's a good story. I mean, it's a horrible story, but it's a good story for people to hear. People need to know that story.
Yeah. What's good about it is the tenacity of his family.
Yeah,
that's what's good about it.
Yeah, they were like, "Fuck you." You
You're
know,
not
what I mean?
Doing this, and they took it to the highest possible level. You could take it.
Yeah. And for people who don't know what we're talking about, this is a movie called The Tillman Story about a football player, and it's a true story. It's a documentary about a football player who ended up going to Iraq.
Pat Tillman, yeah. He went to, I don't know if, it might have been Afghanistan, yeah.
He went to Iraq because he was part of that Jessica Lynch.
Yeah.
He was perimeter security.
But he was, once he got there, he was, he saw kind of what was going on with this war, and he didn't agree with it. So he was very outspoken about it. And the government wasn't very happy about that. And then he ended up dying, and they lied about how he died. And
in Afghanistan, yeah, he died.
That's so crazy.
The government lied about how he died, and then it came out later because people who were there said what happened.
They lied like three times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said they
changed the story.
Came out that he was actually killed by friendly fire.
Mm.
Did they ever actually admit that they lied about it, or do they still?
Yeah, the only good person in the fight, like some general or like somebody high up in the military, thought it was fucked up too, and he was like, fuck it, I retire, I'm sick of this shit. And as soon as they retired, they blamed it all on him.
Yeah.
And he was the one who was sort of fighting for the Tillman family.
Yeah. Wow. That's but always the way it goes.
Yeah, man. The weird thing about it is that the government changed it through that story. It changes their story like two or three times of what really happened. So I mean, come on, man. Mm-hmm. Fuck me, really? You know, they just wanted the truth. So, you know, the shit's, I mean, it's just, it's something that small, that just one guy, the lengths that they went to make it a lie.
Yeah.
And they, what they did is they turned him into a recruitment poster.
Yeah.
And they gave him this high honor, and they gave him an honor, or bestowed what was a bronze star or silver star on him, the second highest, what, for courage or whatever.
And all he
was
doing,
his dad said, was an attitude.
Yeah, all he was doing was yelling at his people that his name. I'm fucking Pat Tillman. I'm fucking Pat Tillman. And they just kept shooting at him.
Hmm.
But I think that DVD was made, documentary was made, what, probably 3 years ago, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
3 or 4 years ago. But I have heard since it about how Tillman knew the drug running that was going on over there with the CIA and the poppy fields and
I've
stuff.
I've heard that, too.
And that he was going to come out and say, hey, this is bullshit.
Man.
I don't know.
What an evil planet.
It's what I heard.
What an evil fucking planet. Ripped the fucking feathers off a turkey and give it a bowl of Cheerios and then shoot Pat Tillman.
It's nuts, man. It really is.
It's a bag of nuts.
Welcome to the future.
Welcome to the future, everyone.
Boys.
Yeah.
It'll all come to a head.
Oh, it's got to.
You know, it may take a while. It may not be Ron Paul, but you can't kill an idea.
The seeds are sown.
Yep.
And it does spread like wildfire. I mean, look how he's just getting more and more support. If they can turn it into a two-man race and he gets up there and debates Romney, he's going to make Romney look like a tool.
So, just speaking like political strategy, you know?
Yeah.
If it was a two-man race in the primaries between Ron Paul and Romney, there's a lot of just Christians out there that simply won't vote for a Mormon and will vote for Ron Paul just because of that. You know what I mean?
It's going to be fucked up.
He'll get a lot of, well, I know that's fucked up, but I mean,
no, I'm,
but it's good. It's, you know, strategically, like all the support that was going for Rick Perry or, you know, whoever all the other Christians were, will go to Ron Paul because Ron Paul's a Christian. You know what I mean?
I think that's a big reason why Rick Santorum is still in there because because he is the
Christian
candidate.
The byproduct of anal sex.
Yeah, and that's, you know, Christians like to vote for that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, they do.
Clearly.
Christians love anal sex. Sorry, I grew up in a Baptist church.
I love that's another thing is like they would talk about religion or in these debates, and then they'll talk about bombing people, and then they're like, and Christians are like, yeah, that's exactly what Jesus would do. He'd fly over there and just bomb the fuck out of everybody. You know, that's what just kills me about it. They're so fucking stupid. Jesus would, you know what? Jesus would just take, Jesus' whole philosophy was, you know, you gotta break a few eggs to make an omelet. He would go down there and just bomb women and children just to get one bad guy.
Collateral damage.
Yeah.
If you could roll the world with the flick of a switch, would you do it? If you could make everybody poor, just so you could be rich, would you do it? If you could watch everybody work while you just lay on your back, would you do it? If you could take all the love without giving any back, would you do it? And so we cannot know ourselves or what we really
Well, I think teams are being drawn up, so just be glad you're on the right team.
I don't know, man.
I'm on the Vets.
I want to be on a fucking team, man.
Well, you have to be. If you have to be behind, if you're behind Ron Paul, you're on a small island.
You got the Tigers, the Pirates, the Rebels, and the Vets. Choose your side, homeboy.
Shit.
That was actually the little league teams in Rotan. I was on the Vets, and we were blue and red, and we were always the best team, and we always got fucked somehow in the end. I don't know. It was weird.
Do you think there was a little league conspiracy?
There definitely was, and like the Rebels, it was like all the Mexican kids in my town were always on the Rebels, so like it was just like, you know.
Did it? I mean, we all loved each other. But approach you to throw a game? Maybe
never, man.
In the postseason,
I did throw 18 consecutive walks one time.
So you were pitching?
I was.
And how much did you get paid for that?
I got way, but nothing. I got a free Big Red at the end
you
of the
game. You threw a game. You threw 18 consecutive walks, which clearly you were in on the conspiracy.
They didn't take you out.
It was a bad night. I don't know why I didn't. I think he's...
He's on the take as well, man. You guys were all in on it together.
He wanted to embarrass me.
So, I'm sure the coach was probably betting on the game, you know? you probably didn't have... enough. I mean, how old were you at the time?
I don't know. I was probably 12. Old enough to want to fuck somebody. You know what I mean?
That's why you were throwing all the walks. It had nothing to do with the
conspiracy. I just wanted to get... Yeah, I was just like, let me just go. I just want to go home.
Hmm. So are you still involved with the Rotan Little League gambling ring?
Yeah, I go back every year, catch a game or two, make my rant, and then I'm out.
Yeah. Bribing little kids?
Oh, yeah. The Vets... You know, I don't even know if they still have a little league or not. They just moved down to six man. Like, it's getting rough out there. There's nothing for those people to do. It's like you work at the jit mill, you work at the cotton gin during the winter, or you drive to fucking Abilene to get like maybe a real job or it's tough
and then
times out
you
there.
Just,
or you're a farmer, you know?
And you're a farmer, you hang out on your off time and you bet on little league games.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So that's if. People Rotan, this is what you need to be doing. Save yourselves. Bet on those little bastards. They will save your life.
You know, I bet there is some sort of little league gambling ring.
No, I'm sure there is. Yeah, oh yeah. You can gamble on anything. People do.
Yeah, now they call it derivatives.
Oh yeah, that's true.
They gamble on whether or not it'll rain tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they put real money on it and it's on the stock market and they just call it derivatives.
Yeah.
Well put.
That's like people who are into like farmers and crops and shit are like, yeah. Whoa, I think it'll rain tomorrow. We're gonna make more money.
Yeah,
money, money, money,
money, money.
Give me more ones and zeros.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
My pockets are full of digital ones and zeros.
I think. The rest of the podcast should be devoted to talking about the digital age.
Okay.
The digital age? Well, so what shall we do for the song of the week?
You know what we should do? Is just play a Ron Paul speech for however long it lasts, just at the end of the thing.
I did see a good thing that put together a bunch of clips from his shit last night. We could just play that.
Yeah.
Just from the stuff last night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to see that. I didn't know about the debate last night. Or I didn't watch it. I did know about it.
You guys want to just play some of that shit?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Right on. Well, fuck the song of the week then.
Yeah, we'll just say...
Song of the week by Ron Paul.
Song of the week. All right, so this song of the week is going to be from Ron Paul, everybody. Now, let's do the sign-off. Well, that's the podcast, bitches.
It's good fun. Good clean fun.
Good time.
We'll see you next week. Starfire.
See you in the future.
Yes.
You have been particularly scathing in your ads against the other candidates up here on stage tonight. Do you agree with Governor Huntsman that these attacks should be abandoned?
Well, they should be abandoned if you're not telling the truth. But if you're exposing a voting record, I think it's quite proper. There was one ad that we used against Senator Santorum, and I only had one problem, is I couldn't get all the things in I wanted to say in 1 minute. But, you know, we mentioned No Child Left Behind, and that he supported deficits times five, raising the national debt, and that he voted for prescription drug programs, and as well as he voted against right to work. And I could have added, you know, things like he voted for Sarbanes-Oxley. So my only regret is that I couldn't get enough in that 1 minute that I should have.
Congressman Paul. South Carolina has seven major military bases and thousands of people employed in the defense industry. But you want to make major cuts in defense spending, several hundred billion dollars in the coming years, that inevitably would cost South Carolina jobs. What do you say to people in this state who worry that your military plans would hurt the national security and cost South Carolina jobs?
I would say your questions suggest you're very confused about my position. I want to cut money, overseas money. That's what I want to do. I want to cut military money. I don't want to cut defense money. I want to bring the troops home. I'd probably have more bases here at home. We were closing them down in the 1990s and building them overseas. That's how we got into trouble. So we would save a lot more money and have a stronger national defense, and that's what we should do. But to say that we would be weaker is absolutely wrong, because and another important thing you should consider is the fact that the military is behind me more than the others. I get twice as much money from the active military duties than all the other candidates put together. So they're saying that I'm on the right track. They're sick and tired of those wars. They're sick and tired of the nation building and the policing activity. But to say that we would have less money for defense, we actually have more money. And if I may, I'd like to go back to the international financial thing.
So, Congressman, just to be clear, your plan calls for freezing defense spending at 2006 levels, which is well below where we are today.
You still don't understand.
What's he missing, Congressman?
You don't understand there's a difference between military spending and defense spending. Just because you spend $1 billion on an embassy in Baghdad, bigger than the Vatican, you consider that defense spending. I consider that waste. So, now, if you want to... A little while ago, we were talking about, you know, funding the unemployed. Of course, that should be privatized, and I don't support it. But I don't support cutting that off like that. I'd cut some of this military spending. Like Eisenhower advised us, watch out for the military-industrial complex. Defend this country. We have to have a strong national defense, but we don't get strength by diluting ourselves in 900 bases, 130 countries. That is where the problem is. But you need to understand that there's a difference between just military spending and defense spending, just okay. To spend money. We understand this domestically. If you spend more money domestically, we know it's wrong, but we're supposed to spend more money, and that's conservative. I've never quite understood this. We're supposed to be conservative, spend less money.
I'd like to... What is the highest federal income tax any American should have to pay? We're looking for a number.
Well, we should have the lowest tax that we've ever had, and up until 1913, it was 0%. What's so bad about that? Now, I would like to follow up on that, because I think the question on taxes is generally misleading, because anytime you spend money, it's a tax. You might tax, you might borrow, you might inflate. The vicious tax is attacking the American people, the retired people today, is the inflation tax. The devaluation of the currency, the standard of living is going down, and you need to address that. And that's why I want to make the inflation tax zero as well.
So your answer is zero.
Zero.
An analysis by the Prison Policy Initiative finds that blacks who are jailed at four times the rates of whites in South Carolina are most often convicted on drug offenses. Do you see racial disparities in drug-related arrests and convictions as a problem? And if so, how would you fix it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. There is a disparity. It's not that it's my opinion. It's very clear. Blacks and minorities who are involved with drugs are arrested disproportionately. They're tried, they're imprisoned disproportionately. They suffer the consequence of the death penalty disproportionately. Rich white people don't get the death penalty very often. And most of these are victimless crimes. Sometimes people can use drugs and arrested three times and never committed a violent act, and they can go to prison for life. And yet we see times, just recently we heard where actually murderers get out of prison in shorter periods of time. So I think it's way disproportionate. I don't think we can do a whole lot about it. I think there's discrimination in the system, but you have to address the drug war. You know, the drug war is very violent on our borders. We have the immigration problem, and I'm all for having, tight immigration policies, but we can't ignore the border without looking at the drug war. In the last 5 years, 47,500 people died in the drug war down there. This is a major thing going on, and it unfairly hits the minority. This is one thing I am quite sure that Martin Luther King would be in agreement with me on this. Matter of fact, Martin Luther King would be in agreement with me on the wars as well, because he was a strong opponent to the Vietnam War. So I would say yes, this judicial system is probably one of the worst places where prejudice and discrimination still exists in this country.
Speaker Gingrich.
You said you were against the operation that killed Osama bin Laden. You said the U.S. operation that took out the terrorist responsible for killing 3,000 people on American soil, quote, showed no respect for the rule of law, international law. So to be clear, you believe international law should have constrained us from tracking down and killing the man responsible for the most brazen attack on the U.S. since Pearl Harbor?
Obviously no, and that's what, I did not say that. What I, matter of fact, after 9/11, I voted for the authority to go after him. And my frustration was that we didn't go after him. It took us 10 years. We had him trapped at Tora Bora, and I thought we should have trapped him there. I even introduced another resolution on the principle of mark and reprisal to keep our eye on the target rather than getting involved in nation building.
But no respect for international law was the question about the quote that you used in Des Moines.
Well, you know, KSM, his colleague, was in Pakistan, and we communicated, you know, with the government of Pakistan, and they turned him over. And what I suggested there was that if we have no respect for the sovereignty of another nation, that it will lead to disruption of that nation. Here we have a nation that we're bombing constantly, trying to kill people that we consider our enemies. At the same time, we're giving the government of Pakistan billions of dollars. Now there's a civil war going on. The people are mad at us, but yet the government is, they're getting money from us. And I think it's a deeply flawed policy. But to not go after him, and if I voted for the authority, obviously I think it was proper. But once they waited 10 years, I don't see any reason why they couldn't have done it like they did after Khalid Sheikh Hamani. And that would have been a more proper way. Now, if somebody has somebody in this country, say a Chinese dissident comes over here, we wouldn't endorse the idea, well, they can come over here and bomb us and do whatever. I'm just trying to suggest that respect for other nations' sovereignty, and look at the chaos in Pakistan. Sure. Now, we're at war in Pakistan, but to say that I didn't want him killed and didn't vote for the authority,
I just quoted from your radio.
I'm just suggesting that there are processes that if you can follow them, you should do it. There's proper procedures rather than digging bigger holes for ourselves. That's what we have been doing in the Middle East. Digging bigger and bigger holes for ourselves, and it's so hard for us to get ourselves out of that mess.
Right.
And we have a long way to go. We are still in Iraq, and that's getting worse, and we're not leaving Afghanistan, and the American people are sick and tired of it. 80% of the American people want us out of there. I'm just suggesting that we work within the rule of law. Like only going to war when you declare the war, then we wouldn't be entrapped in
international law. I understand. Well, I guess U.S. intelligence officials say they had documents recovered in that compound in Abbottabad that showed that al-Qaeda was planning other attacks, perhaps bigger than 9/11. I asked you in our debate in Sioux City on the topic of Iran about this, but on this topic, GOP nominee Ron Paul would be running far to the left of President Obama on the issue of tracking down and killing terrorists who want to attack the U.S.
Well, I would say that if you do your best and you can't do anything, yes, we had the authority, we voted for it, you got it from the Congress, you do it. I just didn't think that they had gone through the process enough to actually, you know, capture him in a different way. I mean, think about Saddam Hussein. You know, we did that. We captured him. And we tried him. I mean, the government tried him, and he hung, got hung. What's so terrible about this? This whole idea that you can't capture... Just a minute, Red. Just a minute. What's this whole idea that you can't capture people?
But you voted against the war in Iraq.
Just think, Adolf Eichmann was captured. He was given a trial. What's wrong with capturing people? Why didn't we try to get some information from him? You know, we're accustomed to asking people questions, but all of a sudden, gone, you know, that's it. So I would say that there are different ways without trying to turn around and say, oh, for some reason, this doesn't mean he's supporting okay. America.
Speaker Gingrich.
Like my point is if another country does to us what we do others, we're not going to like it very much. So I would say that maybe we ought to consider a golden rule in foreign policy. Don't do to other nations what we don't want to have them do to us. So we endlessly bomb these countries, and then we wonder why they get upset with us, and yet it continues on and on. I mean, this idea that we can't debate foreign policy, then all we have to do is start another war. I mean, it's warmongering. They're building up for another war against Iran, and people can't wait to get in another war. This country doesn't need another war. We need to quit the ones we're in. We need to save the money and bring our troops home. Just a very brief statement. I, too, served in the Air Force for 5 years during the height of the Cold War from 62 to 68. So I've had a little bit of experience. Matter of fact, I was over in the Afghanistan-Pakistan region. But I would like to point out one thing about the Taliban. The Taliban used to be our allies when we were fighting the Russians. So the Taliban are people who want – their main goal is to keep foreigners off their land. It's the Al-Qaeda. You can't mix the two. The Al-Qaeda want to come here to kill us. But Taliban just says, we don't want foreigners. We need to understand that, or we can't resolve this problem in the Middle East. We're going to spend a lot of lives and a lot of money for a long time to come.
Kelly Evans.
Governor Romney, when President Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act into law, he enacted a provision allowing him to indefinitely detain American citizens in U.S. military custody. Many, including Congressman Paul, have called this unconstitutional. At the same time, the bill did provide money to continue funding U.S. troops. Governor Romney, as president, would you have signed the National Defense Act as written?
Yes, I would have, and I do believe that it's appropriate.
Paul, a different question. Your plan to...
Why can't I ask you about that one?
You were included in the question in the first place. Do you want 30 seconds to respond to this?
I need a minute. No, I think we're going in the wrong direction for the protections of our liberties here at home. They're under deep threat. The Patriot Act has eliminated the Fourth Amendment. We now have a policy of preemptive war. You don't have to declare war, and you don't even have to have an enemy. We can start the wars. That's what preemptive war is all about. Now, with the Military Appropriation Defense Act, this is major. This says that the military can arrest an American citizen for under suspicion, and he can be held indefinitely without habeas corpus and denied a lawyer indefinitely, even in a prison here. Let me give you one statistic. You're worrying about all these, where we're going to try people, where are they going to do? We have to do it secretly because our rule of law is so flawed. We have arrested 362 people related to Al-Qaeda top operation. 260 of them are in prison. They've been tried and convicted. So don't give up on our American judicial system so easily, I beg of you.
For producer James the Robot, technical engineer Nikola Tesla, and your host Starfire on the Mountain and Charlie Shafter, this has been another episode of You Can't See Us.
Disappears, it's nibbled away. So, I can give up on this, and therefore I'll give that, and so there eventually there's nothing left.